In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of Thy Ryan in English News with me, Ian Wachitzas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has expressed gratitude to the Iranian nation over their high turnout in June 14 presidential elections, saying things proceeded contrary to what enemies had expected. Addressing a group of judiciary officials in Tehran on Wednesday, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Failure of enemies' plots and schemes, manifestation of public trust in the Islamic establishment and electoral officials, existence of sustainable security as the main infrastructure of progress and development, law abidance of other presidential candidates, and the power of the Islamic establishment in defending the nation's interests were major points regarding the recent presidential poll." The leader stated that the enemies and opponents of the Islamic Republic attempted to either prevent the election from being held or make the nation indifferent toward the poll. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that what happened on the voting day was exactly the opposite of what the enemies had planned. He added that Iran's latest polls indicated that even those who do not support the Islamic establishment trust it. The leader also pointed to the public trust and interest in the Islamic Republic, people's trust in the election supervisors and officials, and the nation's hope in the progressive and forward movement of Iran as the main reasons behind a massive turnout in presidential election. Ayatollah Khamenei further emphasized that the recent presidential poll proved that even those who do not support the Islamic establishment trust the government and the elections that it holds because they know that the Islamic Republic spares no effort in defending the country, its national interests, as well as the national dignity of the nation. In the run-up to the June 14 presidential elections, Ayatollah Khamenei had called on those people who were not supportive of the Islamic establishment to support their country by casting their ballot. Nearly 50.5 million Iranians were eligible to vote in the presidential elections. The voter turnout in the election stood at 72.7%. The Iranian president has described Tehran-Dushanbe relations as exemplary for other nations. In a meeting with visiting Tajik Foreign Minister Hamrukhan Zarifi in Tehran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said, "The two countries should maintain their friendly ties and spare no efforts to broaden it." Ahmadinejad added the two nations share the same destiny and Iran regards Tajikistan's progress as its own. Referring to the regular visits by senior officials of Iran and Tajikistan, President Ahmadinejad expressed the hope that such visits would lead to expansion of relations and cooperation between the two countries. For his part, the Tajik foreign minister conveyed the warm greetings of Tajik President Emomali Rahmon to President Ahmadinejad, describing Iran-Tajik relations as very good. Zarifi said, "Tajikistan shares cultural affinities with the Islamic Republic of Iran and is willing to broaden relations in various fields." Elsewhere, Iranian and Tajik foreign ministers met in an effort to further enhance Tehran-Dushanbe relations. During the meeting, Iranian foreign minister said, "Iran and Tajikistan should take advantage of commonalities between the Tajik and Iranian nations in order to bring the two countries closer." Pointing to the mass participation of the Iranians in the June 14 presidential elections, Ali Akbar Salehi stated that it is hoped to see major developments regarding the Islamic Republic of Iran's relations with the world, particularly the West, and in the new era, ties with friendly countries like Tajikistan will expand more than before. Salehi also expressed satisfaction with cooperation between Tehran and Dushanbe in regional and international fields. He said the enhancement of bilateral ties in the energy sector would be in the interest of both nations. For his part, Tajik foreign minister described Iran's presidential election as a turning point that manifested the Islamic Republic's culture and civilization. Hamrukhan Zarifi further hailed the cooperation between Iran and Tajikistan in political, cultural, economic, and commercial fields over the past years. He also stressed the need for further expansion of Tehran-Dushanbe cooperation in bilateral projects. Meantime, in a news conference with his Tajik counterpart, Salehi expressed hope that the new Qatari ruler, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani, will revise the Persian Gulf state's policy towards Syria. Salehi said Tehran hopes that the new emir would pay special attention to the Syrian issue and seriously reconsider his country's past policies so that peace and stability would return to Syria and the Syrians are saved from the ongoing suffering and bloodshed. Salehi stated that Iran offers a helping hand to Qatar. He further clarified that different views on major issues in the region has not hindered good political relations between the two countries, and Tehran hopes these bilateral ties will further expand in the new era. He also offered congratulations to Sheikh Tamim, wishing felicity for the Qatari government and nation. Meanwhile, the Iranian foreign minister said President-elect has formed a group to assess the future rounds of comprehensive negotiations between Iran and the P5+1 group. Salahi noted that when Mr. Rouhani takes office, the time and venue for the next round of talks will be determined. The Lebanese army has discovered a series of tunnels in the southern city of Sidon with a large amount of weapons and ammunition stored inside. The tunnels connect a number of buildings controlled by supporters of Takfiri cleric Sheikh Ahmed al-Asir. Government troops are now searching for Sheikh Asir, who is a staunch supporter of Takfiri insurgents fighting the Syrian government. Takfiri has dismissed most of Islamic sects as infidels. The army is reported to be in full control of the city. The troops have seized control of the radical cleric's base. The government has declared a day of national mourning to honor over a dozen soldiers killed in clashes with militants. At the end of this week, the European Council will hold an important meeting in Brussels to discuss the EU economic policy. Our correspondent has more.
The next European Council that will take place in Brussels at the end of this week is going to be very important. The 27 member states will debate the economic policy of the EU toward the crisis. This council is going to be very important for Spain, so the two main parties have agreed, for the first time since December of 2010, a common strategy that today was debated in the parliament. According to the ruling party, Spain is more listened now as the reforms are already made. But the most important thing is that the main parties were able to find an agreement, something quite unique in the last years. And both parties, as the regional ones, agreed on the diagnosis, but both parties didn't want to appear alone in this, as citizens blame them of being unable to stop the crisis and of just do what the EU rules. So they negotiated with the small regional parties that mainly agreed with the two main ones. The only group that opposed the agreement was the left group, that according to all polls will increase its size as it's seen the only not responsible of the current situation. They say that the agreement is not democratic as it was made behind the backs of the citizenship.
The two main Spanish parties have agreed a common position towards the next European Council. Despite the agreement, there are still some big differences between them. While the ruling party insists on the need of pushing the reforms made, the opposition points that the total change is needed to relaunch the economy. From Madrid, Tamim El-Dalati, Baishabak Khabar.
Central Athens on Wednesday witnessed yet another protest against protracted austerity measures which has affected different sectors in Greece. Here's more.
Hundreds of protesters, members of the Hellenic Confederation of Professionals, Craftsmen and Merchants took to the streets of central Athens on Wednesday right outside its headquarters to demonstrate against protracted austerity and against what has been described by many protesters as a direct strike against their pension scheme rights and the viability of the entire sector. Demonstrators underlined to Irene TV that their demands are right, yet they remain unmet. Their representatives explained that their main demands are, among others, smaller sentences for unpaid dues to the self-employed insurance fund and an unemployment stipend to the self-employed who lose their jobs. With the current scheme, self-employed professionals have to contribute up to 900 euros every 2 months for goods and services that have not necessarily been received. Their daily professional agony is then catalyzed by a cocktail comprised of a protracted economic crisis, soaring unemployment, and a lack of liquidity, especially in the SME sector. In the meanwhile, employees at ports across Greece were also set to walk off the job from noon to 7 p.m. on Wednesday. They are protesting government plans regarding port privatizations in view of general assemblies called by unions. Trolley buses in Athens also altered services from 11:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. due to a general assembly meeting called by the staff union, while last but not least, tax offices across Greece will remain closed for transactions on Thursday and Friday due to a 48-hour strike called by the union representing tax bureau staff.
Self-insured liberal professionals are taking to the streets of Athens one more time to demonstrate against austerity measures imposed upon them by the Troika and the Greek government. These measures include, among others, salary cuts and tax hikes. And as many of them have been describing and underlining to Irene TV, they have suffered more than 40% cuts in their pension schemes. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
More than 1,500 pedestrians were estimated to be treated in emergency rooms in 2013 for injuries related to using a cell phone while walking. Researchers believe that the actual number of injured pedestrians is actually much higher than what the results suggest. A correspondent has the scoop from Lisbon.
The study comes from the United States of America, but could easily be applied in Europe. The number of pedestrians who suffered an accident by talking on the phone or sending an SMS doubled in recent years. Also, it continues increasing the citizens who have been hospitalized because of these distractions. One doesn't need to wait long to see that cell phones are everywhere. Many times it seems to be the first object people use when stepping out to a street. According to data released last week, in the next 5 years, the cases of accidents associated with speaking on the phone while walking should again double. Still, it is more likely to be distracted by a call than by sending an SMS. This information doesn't surprise everyone, even for those who tell stories that show how cell phones can put people's life at risk. If for a long time accidents with telephones were associated with driving, now telephones are part of our daily life. We spend most of our time using them and quite often while walking. If we are more connected using technology, maybe we are also a bit more disconnected from our surroundings. Ines Subtil, Shabaka Kibar, Lisbon.
Analysts say the crisis surrounding former U.S. spy agency contractor Edward Snowden, who is believed to be still hiding at Moscow's Sheremetyevo airport, will hurt U.S.-Russia relations.
Who is working with Snowden is, again, impossible to say, but you need to consider that now, in these hours, the fate of not only Snowden is being decided, but also how Russian-American relations will develop. I think that this crisis can have very negative consequences for Russian-American relations, because obviously for the American administration, and in particular for Obama, it's very important that this runaway falls into the hands of American justice.
A strike at the Eiffel Tower forced the closure of the world's most visited monument for a second straight day on Wednesday. Officials said talks with unions over demands for improvement and maintenance work and employment conditions are underway. Officials said they hope the monument will reopen soon. But for some who had begun queuing early in the morning, any reopening would come too late.
It's very annoying. We're here for one day. It's our full day in Paris, and it's upsetting that we can't go up the Eiffel Tower, and then we're missing out on other places. There'll be long lines. Yeah, a lot to do in one day, and now we're waiting in the queue.
I thought it impossible, or nearly impossible. So many people come here every day and want to see this, and I thought for sure that they'd be running.
Turkish riot police have attacked anti-government protesters who had congregated in the Dikmen district of the capital Ankara, arresting 16 of them. On Wednesday, Turkish police forces used tear gas and water cannon to disperse some 2,000 protesters. Protesters had reportedly gathered overnight and tried to barricade a main road. Meanwhile, local Turkish television showed protests against the release of a police officer who shot to death a protester during anti-government demonstrations in Ankara. On Monday, Ankara's criminal court rejected lawyers' demand to detain the officer, ruling that the shooting was within the limits of self-defense. On the same day, Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan praised the legendary heroism of police forces in quelling anti-government protests that have rocked the country for more than 3 weeks. More than 500 footballs were laid on the lawn in front of Brazilian government buildings on Wednesday as a sign of protest against government spending on the FIFA Confederations Cup. The demonstration in Brasilia was organized by the social movement Rio da Paz, who said each ball represent 1,000 people killed due to violent crimes in Brazil in the past decade. A wave of protests have hit Brazil since June 17 in opposition to transportation fare hikes, higher taxes, poor services, government corruption, and high spending on the 2014 Football World Cup and 2016 Olympics. It has become the largest eruption of public demonstrations that Latin America's biggest nation has seen in two decades. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow for the latest updates. Goodbye now.